Why don't we just give the Lord a good praise this morning? Hallelujah. So good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. You can go ahead and take your seats. We'd like to make just a special prayer for those that have already started school, those that are getting ready to start next week. Specifically, I know the UC is starting on Wednesday. And so we want to pray for both you and your parents for what lies ahead. We have no idea, although that we need to make sure we get our study habits right, show up on time, be there when we're supposed to. But if anything, I want to challenge you students, shine where you're at. God put you in that particular school, not just because, but for the very reason that he wants you to shine right there where you're at. Whether that be Hoover, Tenaya, or Buhat Colony, wherever you're at, UC Merced, Merced College, shine where you're at. Amen. If you are a student, whether it be UC Merced, like I said, Merced College, why don't you stand right now real quick? And this is why I had you sit down. I just want to look at Keanu. All right, I mentioned that just a little bit going to Stan State. All right. If you're a student, amen, and you're already in school, going to school, maybe you're doing even Fresno Pacific University, which is online, I'm sure. Amen. Don't be shy. Stand. We want to pray for you specifically. Praise the Lord. All right, Quattro. Don't be shy. Anybody else? We want to pray specifically just for you. Anybody else? All right. Congregation, would you stand and let's join them. And let's pray for them that God would use them, bless their minds, because you will be challenged. If anything, I want to make sure I stick to what God has given me, his word. And we're just going to pray that God would use them wherever they're at and they would just shine. Can we lift our hands and just go before the Lord? Thank you, Jesus, for education, God. I thank you that you place every one of these public schools all the way out to our New Life Academy Christian school, God. All the efforts and all the sacrifices that were made to make that happen, God, I thank you, Jesus. But today, right now, we are praying specifically for our students, young and old, God, that are going to schools, Lord Jesus, that sometimes is going to challenge the very faith of their belief, God. But at the core, we know that we stand on your word today, Jesus. Ask that you'd bless them, your face to shine upon them, Jesus. And wherever they go, wherever they're at, they shine you, Jesus. All they see is you, Lord Jesus. Whether it be our good day or bad days, Jesus, we still want to give you the glory and the honor. Hallelujah. Let it be to you, Jesus. We thank you in that wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Why don't you give a hand to our students? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so I'm going to challenge you right towards the end, not only that we want to pray for you now, but at the end of the service, we usually make an altar call, and we'd like you to come right here. And ministers, we're going to come, we're going to lay hands on them and say, God, anoint them, use them for your glory. Amen? Praise the Lord. Why don't we go to the word of the Lord? If I can get the back projector up, that'd be great. Amen. Thank you. Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 13. Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 13. And the teacher in me always likes to share that everything I'm about to share with you today is going to be over on our app. If you don't have it, download it. Every slide, if you want to share that, that's all there as well. Just go over to the more, click on the notes, and you'll have all of the slides that we're going to share with you today. More specifically, I have a slide that I'd like you to print out, take it home, and put it on your fridge. And I'll talk about that in just a sec. But take it, use it, share it with somebody. Amen. Today. So, Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 13 and verse 14.
Amen. We got it? If not, we have it there on your screen. It says, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. In other words, majority usually goes that particular direction. But he says in verse 14, he answers a question. He says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. It's not that it's exclusive, or it's not that it's, you know, only reserved for the few. It's open to everybody. The issue is that only some choose the path of the straight and the narrow. Why? Because it costs a lot. It's not just anything that we can quickly just join on a whim. But when you choose this path, it's hard. It's not easy. And I want to welcome Sister Jasmine to the family of the Lord. Amen. Oh, there she is. Oh, listen, I was looking for her. She's so tall. Good to have you in God's family. Amen. Your family anyway, but we have the same Father. Look at the way that it says in the Message translation. Don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for the stuff. Even though crowds of people do, the way to life, the way to God is vigorous. It's brisk, it's robust. It can be tough and requires total attention. Thank you, Chair, for making sure that we understand that not just attendance, but attention to who God is. Thank you, Pastor. It was a treat to hear your preach at the beginning of the month. And Brother Victor, oh my God, I got to pray big and get me a Bible study. But what we chose today is not easy. You got to acknowledge that. You can't be on the, I'm not sure, or maybe I'll go. No, it's yes or no. It's yay or nay. I'm in this 150% or I'm putting it over to the side. I'm either going 100 miles an hour and God, I want to see you one day. Because it's not for the weak. Why don't we pray for his word? Jesus, we thank you. I ask that as you pricked my heart and convicted me this very morning, God, let me deliver it in the way that you put in my heart. Jesus, I thank you. We thank you for your love and your peace, but most of all, your presence, Jesus. I thank you that you're here, and for every guest that has come today, Jesus, let them know that you love them wholeheartedly and paid a price, ultimately for them, Jesus, and me and my sins, Jesus. We thank you. I ask that you to know my lips of clay to preach it, Jesus, and to teach your word in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Before you're seated, turn to your neighbor and tell them it's so good to see you. And when you say it's good to see you, really mean it. I mean, not just really mean it. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you. You may be seated. I'd like to just teach and preach to you this morning on the broad road rewards of a narrow road. The broad rewards of a narrow road. During Jesus' ministry, he gives one of his greatest messages. We call the Sermon on the Mount. And before that, he gave his first sermon in his hometown called Nazareth, where Jesus is standing in the synagogue and reads out of the book of Isaiah. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." He then closes the scroll after this reading, hands it back over to the scribe. And he says, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This verse, this scripture has been fulfilled. It's come to life. It's made history today. Jesus was saying that scripture just came to life because he was saying that Isaiah was talking about the very fact that it was him, the creator, the I am, God Almighty, manifested in flesh, speaking to his people. The Sermon on the Mount that Jesus taught is where he talked about his gospel and he outlined the disciplines of how to become a disciple of the Lord here in this particular message. He talks about principles and values. Not only that, but he talks about metaphors and tries to give us a grasp as to what the kingdom of heaven was actually like. But what he told us was that through this sermon, he was going to tell us and give us values that we can live by, and if applied, would get us certain levels in him, or should I say, closer to God. Here's some of those principles that he said. It reads in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, going back a couple chapters, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Let me read that to you in the message. It says this: "You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule." How about that to live by? He talked about the meek, and he said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." It says in the message, "You're blessed when you are content with just who you are, no more, no less." That's the moment you find yourself proud owners of everything that can't be bought. Money still can't buy peace, love, and joy, right? He talked about the hungry and those that were thirsty. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Let me read it to you in the message. It says, "You're blessed when you worked up a good appetite for God. He's good food and drink in the best meal you've ever had." When you do God's work, when you do what you're called to do, when you serve God, you will never get any other great satisfaction at the end of the day. Nothing can compare to when I serve my brothers as Jesus did. In fact, it leaves you hungry for more. In fact, it gets you to the point where I don't need to be paid to do this. There is just a satisfaction. There is a meal that I eat, spiritually speaking, when I serve God 150%. It's in this Sermon on the Mount that we find metaphors, meaning this is where Jesus would talk about earth, or should I say heavenly things, using earthly things or objects that we could identify with. Like he talked about salt, being the salt of the earth, the light of the world. He talked about broad gates, narrow gates, good trees, good fruit. And we come to the place where Jesus talks about this particular metaphor. He says, "Enter ye at the straight and narrow gate." Matthew, the writer, makes an observation at the end of all this. He says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine." And verse 29 says, "For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. He taught with authority because that was God, as I said before, manifested in the flesh, talking to his beloved humanity for the salvation of their souls. We need to recognize at first and from the start that this message was dealing with a spiritual issue or a spiritual matter. He was talking about the kingdom of heaven and how we could get there and how we could be saved. And I thank God that here at New Life, we believe what the scripture says about that we must be born again of water and of the Spirit. Jesus, before his death, met quietly, or should I say Nicodemus, a priest, met with Jesus quietly for fear of what others were going to say of him talking to Jesus. Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus, you don't understand what I'm talking to you about. I'm talking to you about a spiritual thing. I'm not talking to you about a carnal or fleshly thing, because he said, "How is it that I could be born again? Can I go back to my mother's womb and then be born again?" He says, "No." He says, Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Anybody know what I'm talking about? Jasmine, do you know what I'm talking about? And later Jesus was crucified. He ascended to heaven. He sends his Spirit to fill 120 first, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter stands up and says, they say, "What must I do?" He says, "I've got to do what? I've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins." Oh, Brother Ernie, that's so exclusive. That's so narrow. That's so one way. It's because he is the way. Jesus said, simply put, in John 14, verse 6, "I am the way. I am the truth." And he said that "I am the life." No end, watch what he says here, "no end comes to the Father." He didn't say no one goes to the Father. He says no one comes to the Father except through me. He was the Father. He was the Almighty. The Lord was clearly telling us that we could have great success if we just simply followed these spiritual principles. Here's one of the greatest principles we get. One of the greatest rewards we get when we follow the straight and the narrow. If I could sum up everything in one word that Jesus was working with us, that he wanted us to understand, was the word discipline. It's found in the root word even for the word disciple, which is usually referred to a disciple of Jesus Christ. Discipline. Discipline, which is a word that is thought of today as being so old-fashioned in our times. The reality, we have no idea what it means to have delayed gratification. I like the way Brother Victor put it. Victor Ray Martinez, by the way. He says he's not old school, he's no school. And if you didn't catch that, he says not N-O, K-N-O-W, because he knows somebody. No school, I like that. They say that we're old fashioned and everything that we've got is totally, you know, goes against the grain. Exactly. It does go against the grain. It's a straight and it's a narrow path. In a world that expects kind of like this get it now mentality, kind of like an instant gratification kind of a, you know, thought process, we forget the consequences that there are when we try to get quickly through something and think and we sacrifice it on the altars of instant gratification. But I thank God that there are some that are willing to pay the price of discipline. There are some people that are willing to say, "I'm going to go 100, I'm going to give it 150%. Doesn't matter what comes my way. I chose this. I want this. I'm going to make it. But the person who commits themselves to discipline will find rewards that come later or sometimes years down the road. I strongly believe that we are reaping rewards from past saints who disciplined their lives and said, I'm going to come hell or high water. I'm going to show up when I'm needed. I'm going to serve when they call me, but I'm going to be there. I could only imagine my grandma being able to step into a church like this and go, wow, look what the Lord has done. And yet us that have been here every single Sunday and throughout the week, sometimes we forget and take for granted what it is that God has given us. My grandma, we used to call her Grandma Tinkerbell because my daughter, it kind of stuck, Kayla at the time, says Grandma Tinkerbell. My mom would say that she would go to work every day, work hard with her hands at a turkey plant. Come home, get the kids ready, including my mom, and get ready for church and go straight to church. And then she'd jump on the piano, the organ, and begin to play. She would sing and just give it everything she's got, only then to go back home and prepare a meal for the brothers, because there in Livingston, the church was like right, kind of like the backyard. So they just walk over to her house. They would have some good food, get some tortillas, and I'm getting hungry. Let's go. My grandma knew it was hard, but she didn't quit. She served willingly. She served anyway. It didn't matter what the day was like. It didn't matter what came her way. This is what I've, watch this, chosen. And I know it's hard, but I'm willing to fight for it. Why is it that we live in the most blessed country in the world with the most conveniences like air conditioning and cars and microwaves and padded seats and Starbucks? I counted them, and we got 7 alone. Is that legal? And I didn't even count the one at Target. I guess they tell me they don't count. That doesn't count. It's not a real Starbucks. Yet we complain about everything. We complain the most about this or that. And people say, I wish I had a Starbucks over that was walking distance to me in my house so that I could jump in my car and go through the drive-thru. This is a blessed country. I wish they had a Starbucks near my house. Even in church, we complain about how church is too far. Church is too close. Church is too big. Church is too small. It's not full. It's too full. It's hot. It's cold. And I realize we got to take care of some of that stuff. On and goes. We goes with the complaints. I don't feel the presence of God. I feel too much of the presence of God. Yet the discipline and the protocol for God's presence is still the same. He inhabits the praises of his people. How can we expect God to be in our services if we can't even acknowledge him through our praise? He enthrones our praise. We've grown accustomed to so many conveniences that we lost the meaning of what a sacrificial praise is. When my grandma got to church, she thanked God because it wasn't at work or somebody else complaining about something. It was a joy to get there. When she got there, it was, I'm going to play for his glory. And my mom and my sister, they had to sing like there was no tomorrow. No praise, no presence, right? Let's not let the conveniences take the place of necessary disciplines to stay on the straight and the narrow. Now, what do you mean, Brother Ernie? What do you mean by all this? Let me give an example. I thank God for the convenience that we can now live stream our services. And we can benefit from the fact. It's benefited so many people out of state, out of the country, different folks. It has blessed them. For those that are ill, those that are at work, they can still kind of tune in and still get the worship service. And back in 2019, this is before COVID ever actually came, I think Aiden was like, who was helping me at the time, was like four. I'm kidding. He's a little more older than four. But we got together with like one computer, one little camera. We hooked up on a little computer monitor, and we tried to show something. At the time, I remember Brother Rob Gill coming up and saying, man, I work on Sundays. I would do anything to be able to watch and see the services. And I remember Misty at the time was going through some treatments and had to be at home. And it got me. I said, how do we do this? So we figured it out. And now we got about 1,602 subscribers. Isn't that crazy? And I thank God for my team, for Aiden, for Leah, for Priscilla, and all of their team that they get to. They own it. In fact, sometimes when I walk in, I'm like, hey, okay. What am I supposed to do? Take advantage of it. Yes. But I also sensed that we have used it like a crutch, as an excuse not to come to the house of God. Folks, let's not forsake the discipline of the gathering of the saints of God. You and I have an appointment with Jesus every Wednesday, every Sunday, and that's just for a couple of hours. Has not He blessed you daily? And not only that, we have been not just told to be here, but we are commanded to praise the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. COVID has messed with our mindset. That during lockdown, we saw everything through a screen and a looking glass. And there was no obligation to get involved with what we see. And there was no accountability for what we were watching. It then has become and spilled over into our service that it becomes to be like a spectator event. This is not a stage per se, where the praise team comes and they perform, and you're at a concert and you're not obligated to be involved. Those seats aren't theater seats where you sit and all you do is watch. We've come to do one thing, and that's what we've been created for, to praise and to magnify the name of Jesus. Back, why don't you try it right now? I said, why don't you try a praise? Hallelujah! I don't just want to give you a praise. I want to give you the best praise. He's been way too good. On key, off key, on beat, off beat. It doesn't matter. I'm going to give him a crazy praise. Still don't think conveniences have robbed us of our spiritual disciplines? Let me ask you this question. Why do we measure movies in hours and prayer in minutes? I thought it was going to get quiet. Why do we go down the rabbit hole of social media and waste hours of our time and can't spend more than 15 minutes through an altar call where we call you here? Because it requires discipline. And yet it's what keeps us on the straight and the narrow. Nothing can push a man or a woman higher in the levels when we commit to the fact that I'm disciplined for God. Let me put that reward this way. There are absolutely no obstacles that can withstand the attack of a disciplined life. Let me say that again. There are absolutely no obstacles that can withstand the attack. I'm not talking about being on the defense. I'm not talking about, oh my God, I just made it here. Oh my God, I'm not sure if I'm gonna make it. It's an attack of a disciplined life. When it's discipline, you're now on the offensive. I'm not worried about, oh my God, you know, am I going to get there? Or, oh my Lord, I had such a rough day at work. It's discipline. It's, I chose this. I want this. I'm going. Does that make sense? It's regardless of the outcome of your day. It says, I'm disciplined. It hurts. Yes. Just like they say, no pain, no gain. It's going to hurt. Yes. Let me show you a story, well-known story of David and Goliath, right? David, being a shepherd boy, shows up on the scene. His brothers are complaining, going, ah, you're just here. I brought you lunch. Jesse sent me. But in his hearing, as he was there, he heard the taunting and the blasphemy coming from a giant talking about God's people. Look at what David said. It says, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David, a man after God's own heart, who had discipline to commune with God daily, knew what it was like to be with God because God had delivered him from a lion and a bear. He thought, this giant is no different. The same way he delivered me from a lion is the same way he can deliver me from this giant. Because he is going against what my very life looks over, which is serving God. He said, this giant is a piece of cake. Okay, a big piece of cake. He went on the attack side. He went on the offensive side because of his discipline. Because he knew that God would meet him at every need that he had. History's filled with men and women who had lesser gifts and talents. Because of their commitment to discipline, they rose way beyond what others had in gifts. Church, let's not stop. Let's not stop thinking that, oh my God, I wish I had more. Or let's stop crying about the fact of what we don't have. But let's look at the potential of what God is building in your life and the potential that you have, because there's going to come a tremendous harvest if we get a hold of a blessed discipline. And there is a harvest coming, but God will not entrust it in our hands if we're not ready for it. Serving God isn't going to be easy. Jasmine. If I told you that, I'd be lying to you. It's tough. But the reward. You didn't hear me. I said, we forget the reward. I'm going to see Jesus face to face. It's funny how when an athlete chooses to restrict his foods and eats specific things that would help him and that would otherwise, you know, puts things aside that would otherwise weigh him down and only rob him of the needed strength that he needs for the race. Because why? He wants to win the race. He exercises in the late hours. He trains early. We call that a disciplined life, right? Because an athlete is doing it for the purpose of the prize, to win the race. We don't criticizingly say, boy, you live a strict lifestyle. Right? No, because of the path that he chose, we expect it. So then why is it when coming to the house of God, we think of it as being a strict lifestyle? We think of it as, oh, that's a strict church. No, it's because we've forgotten the reward of the straight and the narrow road. Because it's a disciplined life or a disciplined church that is going somewhere. We are the church, better known as the Greek word ekklesia, better known or understood as the called out ones. Discipline will help us push beyond the coming tragedies of life that I guarantee you, they are going to try to get a hold of you and put a chokehold on your faith and a chokehold on your hope. Let our prayer be, oh God, I don't need more conveniences. I need by your grace the blessedness of discipline to serve you in season and out of season. Story goes about a young man who was a professional pianist playing at a concert, and some of the audience members who recognized him and said, hey, that's one of our old classmates. They're like, oh, I remember him. And so after the concert, they go and they talk to him behind the curtains, and they're like just kind of sitting there chatting. And one of the young men who recognized him and was with the rest of the classmates turned over and said, you know what? I wish I could play as good as you. And the pianist responded with, no, you don't. And then the classmate goes, oh, no, seriously, no, really. He said, I really enjoy how you play with such skill and such amazing creativity. It sounds incredible. I just wished that I could play like you. And right after that, without even skipping a beat, the pianist turns over and goes, no, you don't. And by now, the classmate's feeling, you know, kind of like awkward and, you know, that feeling of like just uncomfortable with the conversation. And so the pianist interrupts this feeling with an explanation as to why he had said, no, you don't. He said, if you really wish you could play like me, then growing up in grade school, you would have noticed me playing the piano while you were out at recess. And while you were asleep, I was early here in school practicing my scales and going over my new music pieces all by myself. And when you went home late at night, I was still here learning and practicing the discipline of studying and learning. And when you were out on your weekends enjoying that time, I was taking private lessons with great instructors that taught me the value of discipline in my practices. So no, you really don't wish you could play like me. Otherwise, you'd have done all of these things. Kind of like, how do you like them apples? My point is, the greatest rewards will always cost you the most. It's going to cost you the most. Many complain about bad habits, but what about the good spiritual disciplines that keep us on the road of the straight and the narrow? Discipline will grow your character. Blessing and discipline is going to yank out those inferiority complexes and the impurities and the petty things that we talk about and the laziness of our excuses. What would happen if we disciplined ourselves to memorize large portions of Scripture so that our mind is so full of His Word that just ooze out of our mind God's thoughts and His actions? What would happen if we allowed discipline to pull us away from the wishy-washy foolishness of hours of entertainment? Discipline has a way of pulling up defeated men and women to places that we've never imagined. But you have to have a plan. Sometimes that plan means you got to get up earlier. Sometimes that plan means you got to stay up later. Sometimes that plan means that you've got to cut people out of your life that are weighing you down. Sometimes that plan means you have to sacrifice now for the reward that's coming later. A plan will cause you to make some hard choices. The very act of discipline will begin to separate you from the common and the ordinary, because God said, "Be ye holy," Leviticus 20, verse 26. "Be ye holy, for I am holy, and have separated you from the peoples." He said that you should be mine. Discipline requires sacrifice and self-denial, which are two of the qualities that, man, this world just goes up against. The culture encourages me to eat, to sleep, and to be merry, because tomorrow we die. But discipline will make you realize that there are some things you can eat that will never satisfy. There's a sleep you can try to get, but it'll never bring you rest. And there's a happiness that you think you have that'll never bring true joy in your life. Don't take the path of least resistance. Anyone can do that. Don't aim your standards so low. Don't compromise what you believe. Let's be like organic fruit. You know, like when you go to Costco and you got the green label? You know where I'm going? Got the green labels. Show up and you got bananas. $1.69. Ooh, organic. $2.69. Organic farmers use natural fertilizers, they're supposed to, like manure and seaweed, and rely on insect predators rather than pesticides to keep pests out. Organic fruit are held to a higher standard. That makes sense? Organic fruits are held to a higher standard. And so we even pay more money for that standard because it costs more to produce this type of fruit. On the other hand, conventional farmed fruit is sprayed with synthetic fertilizers and herbicides and other harmful chemicals. And it shows how much we'll take shortcuts to get something produced much quicker, faster, and it's all about the money. Yet the product that we get from that is substandard. And so we pay more for the organic. God said, "Be ye holy, for I, the Lord, am holy. Be ye separate." I'm not talking about you're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. I'm not talking about that. I'm not saying that we walk around, you know, like just quoting Bible scriptures and that's all we know how to do. No, we live in this world, but we're not of it. I still have to go to work. I still got friends. I still got family. But that doesn't mean I can't reach them for God. That doesn't mean I still can't live a disciplined life
Because I promise you, when it comes to hard times, they know who to look for. And they hope and pray. I still hope and pray that my aunt is still serving God. Because, man, I've got myself into a bad one this time. But they know who to go to, right? And yet they're usually the ones that give you the hardest time. Oh, I used to go to that church. And right? It's because you made a choice. You and I have made a choice. The straight and the narrow, whatever it takes. I'm going this way regardless. And I'm going to try to pull as many as I can to come this way. Even the military has keyed in on this. That's every single military force starts with basic training, or better known as boot camp, where they take the civilian mind, where it's all about me, and turn you into a soldier who has the mindset of my team player and my commander. Interesting. Discipline. How do I get, Brother Ernie, how do I get from here to there? How do I get from here to there? And praise team, I'm already coming to a close. We need to see the road for what it is. Stop making excuses. New Life, I'm talking to you right now. We need to stop making excuses. This is what we chose. This is what we picked. And by golly gee, I am, come hell or high water, I'm a new lifer, as I've said, por vida, for life. You need to get a resolve in your spirit that says, no matter what, I'm going to go, I'm going to live, I'm going to stay the course. Funny how the way to life is never going to be straight. There's always twists and turns in this straight and narrow. Abraham's calling had all kinds of twists and turns. Joseph's dream had all kinds of twists and turns. David's anointing, he spent years before he got to be the king. Everything that he went through. Paul's journey, missionary journeys, had twists and they had turns. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says, I've worked much harder. I've been jailed more often. I've been beaten up more times than I can count. And at death's door, time after time, I've been flogged 5 times with the Jews, 39 lashes, beaten by Roman rods 3 times, pummeled with rocks once. I've been shipwrecked 3 times and immersed in the open sea for a night and a day in hard traveling year and year out. I've had to ford rivers, fend off robbers, struggle with friends, struggle with foes. But he says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Just as they had learned to change and re-navigate and change courses throughout this path and this road, we also likely need to change course sometimes. There are moments when you're going to feel like you're in a straitjacket and you can't do nothing about your situation. Nonetheless, discipline still applies. It feels like it's hurting you more than it's helping you, but stay in there. Hang in there. Stay the course. It's going to help you. Don't get set back by discouragement. See the road. Give yourself to discipline. Don't let the setbacks discourage you and push you further back. Sometimes, yes, it's 2 steps forward and sometimes it's 5 back. But get back up. Shake the dust off and let's keep going. Never, 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 never give up. At the beginning of the year, our small group, and I thank God for our small group so much, for their prayers, their love, and their support. Folks, if you're not a part of a small group, you're missing out. Now, let me put it this way.
You're missing out, and they're missing out. Because you're unique and you got a specific set of gifts that you bring to the table. I need to let that kind of sink in a little bit. We forget that God has gifted you for a reason and for a purpose. He puts you together in a way that you fit so perfectly with a specific ministry, and God has for you. All you've got to do is get in there. So I leave you with what we call three important words. And I was so hit by it that I went back and I made a little poster and I put it on our fridge, and then I made all kinds of other copies and just handed it out like candy to our small group. I said, now you put it on your fridge. Three important words, and I leave you with this. Matthew chapter 2, verses 44 says, therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Jumping down to verse 46, says, blessed is that servant. Look at what it says. Whom his master, when he comes, will find him so doing. I remember when my daughters, I'd give them a task to do or something at home. I would say, Beth or Kayla, you know, I need this to be done or whatever. And I'd be in the house. And I would want to check up on them. I want to, you know, I wonder what they're doing right now. I told them specifically what they needed to do, you know, whether it's clean something up or their room or whatever. You know how the room never gets cleaned. And so it blew me away when I peeked open to the door and I saw them, you know, doing exactly what I had asked. It just like, just melted me. I think of my Father, my Heavenly Father, that when he comes for his return, will he find us? We may be struggling because this is hard. We may be toiling. We may be on the mountain. We may be in the valley low. But according to the last stethoscope that I saw, this means life, right? As long as you see this on a monitor, that's life. That means you're alive. You're going to have valleys. You're going to have mountaintops. That's life. But what God is saying is that will he find us doing what he asked us to do? Because a disciplined life will get you there. So my first word for you today is, are you ready? It's a question. Are you ready? That's a more of a question than it is, you know, a statement. Have I surrendered to him in repentance and obedience? Not just in salvation and the new birth, water baptism, being filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about a daily sacrificed life for him. Salvation is just your key into the kingdom. It's what happens afterwards that you serve him every single day. That's where the rubber meets the road. Am I prepared? Am I in a right state for when God returns? Am I fully prepared? And if you're not, that's okay. Because today is a day of salvation. You can make things right now. You don't have to wait. You can make the choice now. Am I ready? Number one, am I ready? Resolve. You need to get a determination and a discipline for what's going to come and stay the course. You got to keep fighting to decide firmly on a course of action to be ready for the Lord's return. Because the end result is a reward. The reward of being made kings and priests to God, unto God, and to be part of the church ready for his return. And to hear the words by our Savior that says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." What greater reward? I remember one brother put it, one preacher put it. I don't know whatever kind of degree you got, but all I want to get is a WD degree. To hear my Savior say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's all I want to hear. All I want to hear is, "God, I did the best that I could, and I'm going to continue doing as you had promised that you would never forsake me and be by my side." The greatest reward we could ever get is to hear that approval of our Father. Ready. Resolve. For the reward. I think we've gotten to the point where so many distractions, everything that's come up and just hit us like left and right, left and right. We forgot our focus. It's like something got shifted somewhere down the line, and it's like, where's my focus at? It's, church, it's today that we need to make the choice to say, "God, you first. You've got to be number one in my life, or else everything that I'm going through is not worth it." But thank God for those that are willing to say, "Brother Ernie, I got you. Brother Ernie, I got your back. Sister Deborah, I'm praying for you." Now you're going to go to a UC that, oh my God, sometimes I say they're antichrist. I work there, I know. But I pray that God would keep that protection over your mind and your soul and your reserve to say, "I know who I serve." Amen. Why don't we stand? And this altar is open. First, I'd really like to have you, if you're a student, come running up. Come up here. We want to lay hands on you. We want God to set you straight and say, "You know what? I'm resolving in my spirit that this is who I serve. I'm going to shine where I'm at." If you've come today and it's like, "I'm not ready," great. There's a place you can come to and make that choice and that decision right now. And it's either, it's kind of like a now or never. It's like right now, I've got to make that choice. Don't put off that decision to tomorrow, because I can't promise you tomorrow. I can promise you right now. If you haven't made that choice, oh, look at the reward that you get. Look at the end result. Look at what you get. The Creator himself, Jesus Christ, we get him. The streets of gold and the mansions, that's just icing on the cake. But we need to make up in our mind, "This is what I choose. Yes, I know it's hard. Yes, I know it's going to be difficult. But this is what's going to keep me on the straight and the narrow." Ministers, come as we pray for them that are getting ready to go to school or going back. Let's believe that God is going to do something. But I challenge you, congregation, come. Let's come up and let's pray behind them. Let's say, "God, do the work that only you can do through these lives. Praise team, hang on a second. I feel like God is stepping into this place right now. This is your opportunity. Come. Those of you that are here at the altar, lift your hands and lift your voice. He loves to hear his children by their voices. You and I, you're set too idle in our seats and we don't open our mouth. Open your mouth and declare unto God your need today. Tell a loving Father that wants to give you what you need, at least what you think you need. More so, God will anoint you to do what He's called you to do. But raise your voice and let your heavenly Father hear the cry of his children. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, you have never left us, Jesus. You've never forsaken us, God. I thank you for that. But at the same rate, Jesus, sometimes we have not been showing up like we should, God. Help us today, Lord, right now, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's okay, I'm going to wait on you. Don't be in a rush. Slow down. Take your time. But let's just spend a couple minutes here in God's presence and watch what He will do through you and in you, and watch what He builds up. God, if I need repentance in my life today, I repent. God, if you're not first on the list like you should have been before, I'm putting you back. If there are things that have distracted me, Jesus, I'm sorry, but I need you at the top of my list, God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let our cry today be wholehearted, God. Let it be sincere. Let it be honest, God. Because you'll never despise a contrite heart, God. You know us better than ourselves, Lord. That's it. That's what God's looking for.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, in your name. That's it. You're calling us, God. Whether we're willing to accept it or not, the call is there, God. Come on, young people. Come on, parents. We've got to rally behind them in the name of Jesus. Let's show them the way. Let's show them a better way. Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Jesus, I thank you for your word, Lord. But don't let me just be a hearer of your word, God. Let me be a doer of your word, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Jesus, we